When Nancy Pelosi made that statement,
"We have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it."
That was the clincher. I said, I've got to write a book to let the people know.
Hi, I'm Ted Balliker with Reason TV, and today I'll be speaking with Sally Pipes. Pipes is president and CEO of the Pacific Research Institute and author of, most recently, The Truth About Obamacare, What They Don't Want You to Know About Our New Healthcare Law. Why did you write this book?
Well, I'm Canadian, and I grew up under government-run healthcare. And so looking at what the president wanted to do to the American healthcare system really made me think, I've got to focus on this and let the American people know what Obamacare means.
To what extent is it fair to compare Obamacare to what Canada has?
Obamacare right now is slightly different than the Canadian healthcare system, the Medicare system, but I believe that the president, Speaker Pelosi, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid want to take us down the path to a single-payer, government-run Medicare for All system. And this is just Obamacare, the 2,500-page act, is just sort of a stepping stone to that because it's not going to work.
And the plan I'm proposing will cost around $900 billion over 10 years. The plan will not add to our deficit. The middle class will realize greater security, not higher taxes. And if we are able to slow the growth of healthcare costs by just 0.1% each year, 0.1%, it will actually reduce the deficit by $4 trillion over the long term.
Well, of course, none of these things are going to happen under the Affordable Care Act. It's probably going to cost about $2.5 trillion over 10 years. Many economists have said this, and I think it's definitely true. The cost curve is not going to bend down. You know, the president said over and over again, he still says it, that the average premium for the average family will go down by $2,500. And the CBO said it will go up by $2,100. And we know that to be the case, so that's an outright lie. And as to universal coverage, the Congressional Budget Office has also said that by 2019, 23 million Americans will still be uninsured. So we're throwing out the world's finest healthcare system that could have, you know, we could have made some improvements and we would continue to have the world's finest, but now we are on this path to a single payer system and taxes are going to go up for all Americans, not just wealthy Americans. Everyone is going to face tax increases. The deficits are going to increase, and we are going to have our care rationed, and it'll be rationed or denied by government. We have to be very, very careful about what this means for the long-term care of Americans, because we won't have access to the latest drugs and treatments.
I noticed that one of the latest drugs you mentioned was Rituxan. We interviewed a fellow whose life was saved thanks to this wonder drug, cancer drug. You point out that in Canada, it's available in some provinces, correct? That is perhaps even evidence of, you know, there's a pretty specific example of availability, U.S. versus Canada.
Right. Well, in 2003, my uncle had been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and my cousin's a doctor in Vancouver, and I said, well, what about Rituxan for Uncle Fred? And he said, he knew the head of the cancer agency in B.C., and the head had never heard of Rituxan. And he got back to my cousin 2 weeks later and said, well, you know, it's not available here, but if you want to take your dad to Seattle, Washington, to the Fred Hutchison Clinic, please, you know, go ahead. But at that point, my uncle was too old and really ill because they had not done the test to find out that he had NHL. So, that's an example. And then a woman in Toronto read my book and said, well, I can't get Rituxan in Ontario. And I was able to tell her that it was available in Alberta. It's probably available now in some other provinces. But government controls cost in Canada by not allowing access for the provinces to some of these, you know, high-end treatments because they determine they're too expensive. And that's, I think, what's going to happen under Don Berwick and this whole new comparative effectiveness center under Obamacare. The government is going to say that, you know, the value of your life is $49,000 a year, that the cost of Avastin is, say, $50,000 a year. Therefore, it may be medically effective for you, but it's not cost effective, so it'll be denied. And that's how governments keep costs under control. But who does it hurt? It hurts patients.
The supporters of Obamacare, I believe, were at a rhetorical advantage on many different levels. Unless you say our current system is a complete and total and utter mess, you are a defender of the status quo.
Right. And so, but for some reason, because of the media and what politicians, liberal politicians, have been telling people, the American people have become, to some extent, to believe that healthcare is a right. It's not the same as, you know, whether should the government, you know, provide our housing? Should they provide, you know, our vacations? I mean, so, but people have begun to think that healthcare is a right. And in fact, you know, the American people are spending less per year on their healthcare than they are on, you know, travel and entertainment, but they begin to think that's all right for me to, you know, spend my own money to go to Paris on a vacation or go to Indianapolis or whatever. But they seem to think it's not right for them to have to pay for their health care. And that is unfortunately a real mistake. Health care is not a right. We have the right to go and get health care, but we don't have a right for it to be provided for us. And so, I mean, you know, if you get a Starbucks coffee twice a day and that costs you $6, you don't think that's a problem. But, you know, you don't want to spend, you know, $120, $130 to go to the doctor to find out, you know, why you have, you know, a sore throat or, you know, a pain in your stomach or whatever. So people have become very, you know, sort of overtaken by the fact that people now think healthcare is an entitlement that the government should provide. And you know, we're spending 17.3% of our gross domestic product on healthcare. And people say, well, it's way too much. Canada spends 10. Well, yes, Canada spends 10 because the government says that's what we can afford. And then you get those long waiting lists, denied care, and lack of access to the latest technology. You know, I'm part of the baby boom generation. You know, we're all going to, when we retire, there's going to be a whole flood of new people, you know, that are going to have to go on Medicare. And we know it's, you know, it's being cut by $529 billion over 10 years. We're going to have a hard time finding doctors and having access to the best care. But, you know, we need to voucherize Medicare. We need to voucherize Medicaid. There's a whole bunch of things that can be done to empower doctors and patients and keep our healthcare system alive. But it's not going to happen. It's going to be destroyed under this takeover of our system.
Since Obamacare has already passed, is it too late for us? What can we do now?
I favor repeal and replace. Now, if the Republicans take over the House this fall, and if they even take the Senate, that is not going to be enough for repeal and replace. The Republicans would have to take the presidential office in 2012 and Congress, and then early in 2013, they would have to work very hard on repeal and replace. But it also means having a strong leader who can sort of herd all these cats so that they focus on repeal and replace, and then we can build with a healthcare system, which I talk about in my book, empowering doctors and patients, changing the tax code, getting states to reduce their mandates, allowing people to buy insurance across state lines, all of these things. But if they don't, you know, as Milton Friedman used to always say to me, Sally, tell me a government program that has ever been eliminated. You know, the Angora Mohair subsidy program. Very few are ever, you know, eliminated. So we've got to get on this right away. But it will take a lot of willpower and a strong leader to make it happen.